The SEND Network podcast is brought to you by the SEND Network, a digital community for SEND practitioners to connect and collaborate. To find out more, head over to send-network.co.uk.
Hello, welcome to Series 4 of the SEND Network podcast. I'm your host, Izzy Felton, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Lorraine Peterson. Lorraine is an educational consultant dedicated to enhancing the quality of life of children and young people with SEND, including the increasing number of those experiencing mental health difficulties. She has 25 years' experience in the mainstream school environment as a teacher and head teacher, and was the CEO of the National Association for Special Educational Needs for almost a decade. Lorraine, thank you for joining me.
Hi, Izzy. It's good to be here.
Good. Today's episode is all about you, the listener, which is hopefully the SENCO. It's no secret that being a SENCO can be stressful as well as at times quite lonely. And sometimes you may be so focused on your students' learning and well-being that you might forget about your own mental health needs. So as part of Stress Awareness Month, Lorraine is going to be providing you tips on how to look after your own mental health, both in and out of the school environment. We're going to start with what you can do at work to help with stress and feeling overwhelmed by your workload. And we're going to mention that dreaded word, admin. So when it comes to administrative tasks, tell me a bit about delegating and how can SENCOs better delegate work to others?
Okay, so thank you, Izzy. In most schools, there is only one SENCO.
Yeah.
If a school's lucky enough to have an assistant, that's great. But in most schools, there is just one of them, which can make it quite lonely. And so the first thing that I would say just before admin is get yourself, some friends who you're working with, who you can bounce ideas off and that sort of thing. But yeah, as you say, one of the biggest tasks that SENCOs say that they have to do is administration, because the job is incredible, has got an awful lot of paperwork attached to it. So I suppose for those of you that are lucky enough to have some admin support, and there are some SENCOs out there that do get that, then, protect it and keep it. If you are a SENCO that's never had that sort of support before, then I would suggest you have a look at whether that's feasible in your school. Is there somebody, and it might be one of your TAs or an HLTA, who could do some of that administration for you? Or it could just be a member of your admin team, your office staff, who could just make those phone calls that you never get time to do because you're always in a classroom or, you're busy with children or parents. but I think for me, in terms of the SENCO and all of that admin, it's about working out what is strategic and what is operational. So, in other words, what are the musts and what are the shoulds? So the musts are the legal bits, if you like. They're the things that you've got to do. So, for instance, when you are applying for an EHC needs assessment, your local authority will have a whole wadge of paperwork that has to be filled in. Now, firstly, from a legality point of view, there's nothing that says you've got to fill in all of that paperwork. Just notifying the local authority that you have a child that's got SEN is what it says in law. However, I am very realistic and I know that that's not going to cut it. And, you are going to have to do some of that work. But it's about making sure that, you're only giving them what they need. Often needs assessments get bounced back, they get refused because they don't have the right information. So find out what it is that the local authority need and make sure that you get that succinctly and, within that documentation. If you need to attach a specialist report, so a speech and language report, make sure that's up to date and, it's attached properly. Some local authorities expect you to scan everything and send it all electronically. Again, there are people in your school that can do scanning. Otherwise, you become a very expensive scanner. So it's about thinking about who else is in your school who might be able to help and support you with some of that admin. And then the other thing is then it's about thinking about the more operational stuff. And what is it that we actually need for supporting the youngsters in our school? So lots of schools have IEP, so individual education plans or individual provision maps, or they've all got different titles, but they're the documentation that tells us about a particular young person. You should not be completing that documentation. That is a teacher's job. You delegate to the member of staff that knows that child really well. You might need to support them. You might need to, sit with them. You might need to be involved if they're getting parent voice, but you do not need to complete all of those. They are teachers' responsibility. So again, it's about making sure that you've got the structures in place that mean that, other people are doing some of that admin. And it's the people who really know the children and the young people who should be doing that. The other thing that I would say that I think is really important, which is a bit sort of admin really, is that you have a system in your school whereby the teacher is doing the graduated response, the teacher is offering what's ordinarily available, they're doing the adaptations in the classroom. All of that should be happening before, really, as you as the Senko get involved. So I would say you also need to have some sort of referral form or cause for concern form that, again, the teacher or the teaching assistant can complete, and they can write in that, what they've done, who they've met, have they spoke to parents, what adaptations have they put in place. And that gets sent to you then as a, if you like, a referral that I need some more help. What that hopefully will try and do is cut down those times. And it's usually when you're on your way for your lunch or you're on the way to the toilet, when the teacher will stop you and say, "What are you going to do about?" And you can always answer, "What have you already done?" And I think, trying to move, delegate some of those tasks out to the people that actually should be doing them and who know the children well, is probably the best way going forward.
And actually, something that's reminded me of, that's a big theme actually on the podcast quite a lot, is how do you put that in place? How do you make it so that, like, a lot of places sometimes think that children with SEND are the responsibility of the Senko and not the whole school. So how can Senkos encourage like a new mentality in their school that actually, this is something we all work on together?
Well, I think when we got the Children and Families Act, which was 10 years ago now, and we got the code of practice that sits alongside that, it is very clear that teachers are responsible and accountable for all their pupils. There's been a massive drive across schools to think about the role of support staff and how we're using them across school. But I think that the For me, it's about what does high quality teaching look like in your school? What is it that is expected every teacher to provide every day? What is ordinarily available, it's called? What is it that's what's expected? And then on top of that, what adaptations and adjustments do teachers have to make to ensure that every child is engaged? And that includes, reasonable adjustments through the Equality Act as well. So all of that is teacher responsibility. Most local authorities now have what they either call the graduated response document or the ordinarily available document. And a lot of schools have looked at that, and they've really sort of shared with teachers through CPD, this is your responsibility. These are the things that are expected of you. It is a whole school culture shift. And I like to think that, 10 years on, in many schools that culture has been shifted. But again, you know, it's still work. I know Senkos that have done training year on year on year to embed that across the school. But I think it's also making sure that, you know, you're as a Senko, you are there to be strategic and to support those staff. So one of the things that I think is missing sometimes, and that's because of time, because Senkos, especially if they've got a teaching commitment as well, don't have enough time to monitor what's going on in classrooms. And if you don't know what's going on in classrooms, you don't know whether those processes are actually taking place. So I would say to Senkos, you know, get yourself into classrooms, get, you know, talk to your school leaders and say, I need a week where I can just do classroom observations and monitoring. Go in, see if that ordinarily available provision is happening, see what adaptations are taking place. And then you can, as a Senko, be more strategic in terms of what you do next. So, do we need to do more whole school staff development? Are there certain members of staff that I need to work with? Or actually, it's hunky dory and everybody's doing it and it's fine. We're currently waiting for the government to issue what they're going to what are going to be called national standards, and these are part of the SendApp improvement plan. And national standards, they will be standards that every single teacher in every single classroom have got to follow. So if you're already doing that through that sort of ordinary available provision, that's going to be a lot easier when we finally get the, you know, these national standards from the DfE. But once they come in, then we're going to have to, you know, follow those anyway.
I hope that when everyone does their monitoring, it is hunky dory.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I go into lots of schools and I see some fabulous practice, and you know, you don't you just know that they get it. I think
So
the other
good.
thing is as well, and you know, I'm not gonna I don't like mentioning the word Ofsted, but you know, I think most inspections now are very much about that high quality teaching. It's about how is the teacher engaging with all of the pupils, that the SEN pupils don't spend all day with a TA, you know, or a learning support assistant, that there is that the teacher is taking some time. So I think that more inclusive nature is part of the Ofsted inspection process as well. So you know, it's just good practice. And we're not doing it for Ofsted, but actually, if it helps, then it's worth doing it, is what I say.
Definitely, definitely. Now, you briefly mentioned time and management. Now, we had a brilliant discussion with Kate Browning previously on the podcast about time management at the start of the school year. So check it out if you haven't seen it. but explain to me how you would recommend managing your time as a Senko.
It's probably very similar to Kate's, but I think it starts off at the beginning of the year with having a really good diary or planner, whether that's electronic or paper. I'm quite old, so I'm still on paper, but and into that planner you put all of your key dates. So when you know you've got to do annual reviews, for instance, so all those annual reviews go in your diary. You can then work backwards and say, I've got to collect my information for this one by now, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that's embedded. If you've got staff development on a calendar, you know, when am I going to deliver some staff development on, or CPD on SEND? If you know that you've got particular meetings with specialists, or you know, the EPs coming in and all of those things, get those in the planner diary as well. And then I think you've just got to be really, really strict and say, okay, you know, look at your diary each week and think, well, I can do that then, and I can do that then, and just try and stick to, you know, what you've already got in your diary. Now, I know that that is really difficult because on operational level, you have staff who are not in, you've got support staff that should be one to working one to one with an EHCP child. You've got, you know, you've got to go in and teach a class because there's teachers that. So I fully appreciate that a diary or a calendar or a planner can go completely, you know, And I think what I would say then is don't panic. Don't sort of think, when am I going to do all of this, etc. I think it's just about then thinking, okay, so which are the things that were really, really, you know, the top priority for that week that didn't get done? We'll move those to next week. What we shouldn't be doing, and this is sort of moving on really to the mental health bit, we should not be trying to cram in everything by doing it in the evenings and at weekends. Yeah. To try and just get the list down, if you like. So I didn't achieve 24 tasks this week, so I'm going to do them on Saturday and Sunday. Because you then go back into work on the Monday and you're not ready for the onslaught of the following week because you spent all weekend just trying to catch up from the week before. So you've got to be realistic and you've just got to think, I can only do what I can do. And have your priorities. So there are things that have got to be done. So your meeting with a speech and language therapist really should go ahead because that's diaried, or an annual review is a really important thing. You shouldn't be cancelling those. But, catching up with a parent, I'm sure they will fully understand if you email them and just say, I'm really sorry, can't do it then. Can we do it at another time? So it's just picking and choosing what you can, fit into that calendar.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And is there like a sort of way that Senkos can allocate time without being disturbed? I know it's a bit difficult, there's always like someone coming in and out the door.
Yeah, I'm actually a firm believer of, and I think this was proved during the pandemic, actually, that if you've got a task to do, so let's say you're filling in EHC needs assessment paperwork, which Senkos tell me can take anything from 20 to 40 hours. So, it's a big job.
Wow, yeah.
Then personally, I would work from home or work from a local coffee shop. Or, go some the library, it doesn't matter, but go somewhere that's not school.
Yeah.
If you have delegated and people are able to just get on, they will if you're not there. If you are there, they will keep coming to you.
Yeah.
And most Senkos, because of the people that they are, will just open the door and let them come in and let them take over. So we've got to be much better and firmer at saying, I'm not here. Now, that's either you put a big sign on the door and say, do not disturb, and people understand that if you're lucky enough to have an office. Or personally, as I say, I would work away from the school. I would stay at home, or I would, go to a coffee shop or whatever, take your laptop and just work. Because you can get so much more done when that you haven't got all those disturbances. And actually, the world won't collapse if you're not in the building. I know you'll probably have one or two things to pick up when you get back, but at least you've managed to do the task that you set out to do in the first place. So that would be my, my advice.
Yeah. Now we're going to get a bit more into sort of the mental health of the Senko a bit more. So we've spoken about strategies within school, prioritising monitoring, leaving the school environment when you need to get work done. But what are your best tips for looking after yourself outside of work, outside of school?
Okay, so I think, like as I've just said, evenings and weekends should only be used in final circumstances, let's say. And we all know there are times when we have to catch up and there's things that we need to do. But you can't do that day in and day out and then take all your weekend as well. So I think, first of all, it's about being really careful about how much extra you are doing. Lots of people also have to acknowledge that they work differently. So some people are happy to get into work at 7 o'clock in the morning and do early mornings. Some people prefer to spend time at, staying after school and doing stuff after school. Nobody should feel guilty about what time they get in and what time they leave, as long as they're doing their day, if you like. So, if you're not a morning person or you have to take your children to school or whatever that might look like, then carry on doing that. Don't feel guilty that, everybody else is in half an hour before you. As long as you are there for the start of the day and you're ready and prepared, then that's fine. In the same way that if if you're the sort of person who does come in early in the morning, but actually you like to be at home for 4 o'clock to pick, to see your kids or get the tea, whatever it might be, then again, don't feel guilty about that. You've done your time at the beginning of the day. So that the first thing is, don't feel guilty about how you work out your school day. That's your well-being to look after. The other thing is, if you've got family, then they should always be a priority. Obviously, they're your family, and finding time to spend with family and catching up with your kids after school and what they've done at school, although many of them never tell you, do they? Going for walks, but and then it's about looking after your physical health. So, and that might be walking, going to the gym, it might be swimming, whatever floats your boat, really. But we know that if you are physically healthy, it supports your mental health. And then it's then about that sort of, and then what else do you do? So, going out with friends, the unhealthy things like having a drink or bars of chocolate. But just sitting down and binge watching a series on Netflix that takes you out of, the day. What you don't want to be doing is going to bed at night, worrying about all the things you didn't do that day. For me, I'd much rather be, if I'm going to think about that work at all, think about, so what am I going to do tomorrow? Do you know what I mean? I'm being sort of almost positive in terms of, so tomorrow I can, as opposed to today I didn't. And trying to, get good night's sleep. Sleep is really, really important. Having a good diet is really, really important. Forget the alcohol and the chocolate. But occasionally that's fine. And I suppose, try not, and this is really difficult, and I find this is the bit I do find hard. Try not to take the job home with you. Try and do what you need to do, make the break, drive home, or get your transport home. And by the time you get home, you go into home, family, partner, whatever modes that you are. I think where there is a difficulty is if you are a Senko that lives on your own, it is probably more difficult to do that, and you're sitting at home and you're thinking, oh, I'll just do that job or I'll just do that job, as opposed to having your tea with your family or whatever. But again, it's about finding other things to do. So, going out with friends, watching the telly, gaming, if that's your bag, if you like being on computer games, just anything that gets the brain away from the stress of work, if you like. So lots of things people can do. Everybody's different, so everybody will do something else, but it is very much about evenings and weekends trying really hard to switch off and do something else that's not work related.
Yeah, definitely. I always think the times where, personally I've felt most stressed, the biggest secret of getting over that is actually spending time with people that, whether that's friends or family, and just like so you can switch off for even if it's a few hours, like it makes you feel so much better.
And it's often better if your friends aren't Senkos, because then you end up just talking shop the whole time, which isn't helpful. So,
We've got to the end of the episode. Let's sort of summarise. What are the key three takeaways from this episode for Senkos concerning their mental health and, time management, work management?
Well, I think the three for me are make sure that you understand the strategic and the operational. So what are the musts? What are the legal things? What are the strategic things you must do? And then what are the things that actually you're doing, but somebody else could do for you? So some of that day-to-day stuff is delegation. So, you are meant to be strategic. So making sure that you're not, sort of doing too much operational, so you don't have time to do the strategic. So that would be the first one. The second one is very much about delegating, whether it's admin or whether it's some of the operational stuff to other people. And get your diary, make sure that you set time out in your diary for you to do what you need to do, and that doesn't get soaked up by, you've got to go and sit with this child in this class because their behavior is not whatever, that sort of thing. And then the final one is just look after your own mental health through whatever strategies and support mechanisms you put in place for yourself. But put yourself first. I didn't mention, but just having a bath with nice smelly oils and that sort of, that's the sort of thing you like. So, just take time and make sure that within, the 7 days that we're in a week, at least two of those are not to do work on.
I love that. It's perfect. Ryan, thank
Thank you.
you.
All right.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Izzy. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Send Network podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. For more information and resources on the topic we spoke about in today's episode, please head over to send-network.co.uk.